At one time or another, we all pray for ourselves. Even people that aren't very religious, if they get in enough trouble, will pray for themselves. So the question is not, should you pray for yourself? We all do it. The question is, what should we pray? A number of years ago, within a short period of time, two different people brought this to my attention with great impact. The first was the man who actually led me to Christ. He sent me an email, and in that email he said, you need to go look at this passage of scripture and you need to pray that prayer for yourself. Now that alone would have made an impact on me just coming from him. Then, shortly thereafter, I heard Bruce Wilkerson speak on that particular passage, this prayer by some obscure man in the Old Testament. So given that, I decided I should give this a little bit of my personal attention. And I must say, with great profit. Now, what did that obscure little known man know that we don't know? He can teach us, I submit to you, how we are to pray for ourselves. I'm talking about a fellow mentioned only once in the Bible, and that is in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. When was the last time you looked at 1 Chronicles in your Bible? Probably a long time ago. Well, join me in chapter 4, if you will, and we're going to read two verses. Verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now these two verses are packed with some information. What I want to do is begin by looking at what it says about Jabez the person, and then we will look at what it says about his prayer. What it says about his person is really rather simple. For one thing, it says that his name is Jabez, and that his mother called him the name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. So the passage seems to be making an issue out of the fact that his name was Jabez. Now, what's going on? Well, that particular Hebrew word is a little obscure, but many conclude that the word itself means pain or sorrow. So Jabez speaks of pain. Now that's his name, but clearly his mother said she named him that because she bore him in pain. Now what does that mean? Well, as every mother knows, childbirth is painful. Matter of fact, I understand that all women are of the opinion that if men had just one child, there would be no second child, just because of the pain that is involved. Perhaps this was a particularly painful childbirth, and she was grateful that the Lord had seen her through it, and she named her son Pain to remind her of God's grace in that situation. That's one possibility. There is another, one that intrigues me, and it is this. There is a Hebrew professor from Belfast, Ireland, who's written a commentary on 1 Chronicles. And he makes an interesting suggestion. We don't have any proof for this, but it's his suggestion, and I just thought it was fascinating. His suggestion is this, that the mother of Jabez was the sister of a fella named Achan mentioned in the book of Joshua. Now, you might recall the story of Achan. The children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. They surrounded Jericho. The walls fell. And from that victory, they marched to Ai and were promptly defeated. That shocked them. And so, going before the Lord pointed out that the problem was Achan, that he had stolen something. Well, confronted, he confessed and was punished. Matter of fact, he was stoned to death. But if you read that passage in Joshua carefully, you will see that the whole family got punished. So the suggestion is that that was a time of pain and shame for the family. And it was during that time that Jabez's mother gave birth to Jabez. So she was herself undergoing some difficult times, some painful times, not physically, but emotionally and psychologically. And so she named her son Jabez. If that scenario is correct, and we have no way of knowing for sure whether it is or not, then Jabez would have experienced that kind of shame and that kind of pain. A.B. Simpson, a pastor of a bygone day, looked at this story and said that he is appropriately called Little Misery because he came into the world under a cloud of pessimism. His childhood was overshadowed by gloom and perhaps neglect and maybe even discouragement. At any rate, I thought it was an interesting possibility. This much is for certain. Jabez somehow knew pain. Maybe it was the knowledge of his mother brought him into this world with excessive pain. Maybe it was some family dynamic. Maybe it was something in his early childhood. At any rate, Jabez stands for pain. The other thing that we can say about Jabez is that he was an honorable man. Matter of fact, the passage starts out telling us that. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The word honorable literally means distinguished. This was an outstanding man. He was head and shoulders above all of his brothers and perhaps his contemporaries as well. If you're at all familiar with the book of 1 Chronicles, and most aren't, you know that the first 9 chapters is nothing more than a list of names. It is one name right after another. There are over 500 names listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through chapter 9. Of all those 500 people, the only one called honorable is Jabez. Does that give you some idea? He was an outstanding man. The word Jabez only appears one other time in all of the Bible, and that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. The last verse in that chapter, verse 55, says, "And the families of the scribes who dwelt at Jabez." We know nothing else about the person other than what's stated in chapter 4. It's the only reference to him in the scripture. The only other reference to his name is the name of a city. And that is that has tempted some Bible teachers to suggest he was so honorable, he was so distinguished, that a city was named after him. So this is what we know about the person. We know that somehow pain was associated with him, and we know that he was honorable. Now, before we look at the prayer, which is the point, I want to pause and make a simple observation. You ever had any pain? That's like asking, are you breathing? Has somebody in your family, near and dear to you, brought pain into your life? Have you ever been hurt by somebody? Were your father and mother divorced when you were young? Mine were. Did that cause you pain? Have you ever been abandoned, betrayed, condemned? Have you ever been hurt by somebody? Maybe not a family member, maybe a friend. Or have just life dealt you one blow after another and you have experienced pain? Well, Jabez teaches us something about that. He teaches us that you can experience pain or know about pain and still be honorable. That your past doesn't have to dictate your present. That you don't have to succumb to the pain of the past. That you can be an overcomer of it. You can be honorable regardless of what has happened to you or how much pain you have experienced. Perhaps that was because Jabez was a man of prayer. So let's look at his prayer. It's recorded for us in verse 10. It says, Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now stop right there before we look at the prayer proper. He approaches God as the God of Israel, not just God. Now that's significant for this reason. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. The Bible begins with that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But as you dig deeper into the scripture, you quickly discover that God chooses Israel and becomes identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, because he makes a covenant with them. He has a personal relationship with them. So this is telling us that Jabez had a personal relationship with the God of Israel. He doesn't address him as the creator God. He addresses him as the God of Israel, the God that has made a covenant with his people. That covenant is spelled out in the book of Genesis. But in part, we know from Genesis how you are related to that God and that covenant. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham trusted the Lord, and God said, I'm just going to give you righteousness for that faith. It's an incredible statement. In the sense of the Hebrew scriptures, that is a critical point. That we are first related to God by faith. Habakkuk echoes that when he says, the just shall live by faith. Now that gets picked up in the New Testament. The New Testament uses Genesis 15:6 and the verse in Habakkuk to demonstrate that we are first and foremost related to God by faith. Only the New Testament says that faith is in Jesus Christ, who died for us and arose from the dead. And when we come and trust him, then at that moment, we become children of God. John says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. And then he explains how to receive him. At the end of John 1:12, he says, even to them that believe in his name. And as you've heard me say over and over and over again, in the scripture, especially in the Gospel of John, that belief is a trust. It's believe into his name. Or John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, not just believes about him, but in him. And the addition of that little preposition indicates that this is a trust, a reliance, a dependence upon him for the forgiveness of our sin and the gift of eternal life. So this prayer is prayed by someone who has a personal relationship with the Lord through faith. Now, what did he pray? Look again at verse 10. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me and bless me indeed." There are two different Hebrew words translated blessed in the scripture. One means to be happy. That's the one that appears in Psalm 1 where it says, "Blessed is the man." The other word has more the connotation of being prosperous. And that's the word that appears here. He is praying that God would make him prosperous somehow. Is that interesting? I think it's very interesting. Notice the text carefully. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." He adds that little "indeed" as if to say, "I want you to bless me, and I want you to bless me greatly. I want you to bless me abundantly. I want you to bless me a lot." That's the point of "indeed." So the first thing he prays for is that God would give him prosperity. Now, exactly what did he have in mind? Well, obviously, the text does not tell us, which may be telling us something. Maybe Jabez is saying, "Lord, I want you to bless me, and I'm going to leave the blessing up to you. You choose how you're going to bless me." Or as one preacher said, "I want nothing more or nothing less than what God wants." Interesting. I want nothing more or nothing less than what you want from me. What a great prayer. What a great prayer. On several occasions, my wife has said to me, "What do you want for lunch? I'm going out to get it. I'll get you anything you want." Now, I have a cast iron stomach, and I can eat anything. The only one thing I tend to react to, and it's shellfish. Other than that, I just like groceries. So without having a particular hunger for something at that moment, I've said to her, "Surprise me. Just you pick anything." It seems to me that that was Jabez's prayer. "Lord, I want you to bless me. You surprise me. You pick the blessing." But now notice what he says. Maybe there's a hint here. Maybe. He goes on to say, "Enlarge my territory." Now that may give us a clue as to what he's asking for. The word "increase," "enlarge," means just that. Make it bigger. Enlarge it. And territory, that particular word was actually used of the boundary. So the idea here may be something like, "I want you to bless me materially." Think of a farmer who has a piece of property, territory, land. And he's asking that the Lord enlarge the piece of property so that he can have more production. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, that's similar to what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, "Let me teach you how to pray. This is what the Lord said. This is what you pray. Give us this day our daily bread," our material blessing, our material prosperity, "and pray for it daily." Wow. "Give us this day our daily bread." So it is perfectly legitimate to pray for those kind of material needs. But perhaps, just maybe, it's bigger than that, or more than that, or something else other than that. Let me explain. A minute ago, I pointed out that there's a city named after Jabez, or at least there's a city by the name of Jabez, probably after him. Well, let me tell you what that verse says again. Chapter 2, verse 55. And the families of the scribes dwelt at Jabez. Ah, that verse is telling us that this was a city of priests. Now, priests could not own land. So if Jabez was a priest, and by the way, there's some ancient Jewish writings that says he was a doctor of the law and had many disciples. So that's a very good possibility. If that's the case, he's not praying for material prosperity. He's praying for spiritual prosperity. He's praying that the Lord would enlarge and increase his ministry, if I can put it like that. That he has a spiritual impact on people and he wants that to increase. Now, commentators are divided, as you can imagine. And some are bold enough to suggest, well, maybe both are included. Not a bad idea. I'll take it. Both are biblical. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul asked the church at Corinth to pray for him that he might have an open door of opportunity to proclaim the gospel to people, which is exactly the kind of thing that's going on here if this is spiritual in nature. At any rate, the first request is simply, Lord, bless me, and perhaps part of that is increase me materially and spiritually in terms of my impact on others. There's another request in verse 10. He says that your hand may be upon me. Interesting expression, that your hand may be upon me. I have laid my hand on somebody's shoulder this morning. Lay your hand on their shoulder. Well, what does that mean? That expression, God's hand, is used repeatedly in the Bible of God's power, of God's strength. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, it is said that he did it by his hand. That's Exodus chapter 13. It's used throughout the Old Testament like that. It's used in the New Testament like that in Acts chapter 11. It's used in the Psalms that God gives us strength and God gives us power. So this petition is for strength. If he asked for a larger lot, many had to do more work. Maybe he's asking for strength to get that done. If he's asking for a larger ministry, that's going to take more effort, time, strength. And so he's asking for strength to get that done. Whatever the case, this I know and have no doubt about it. And that is that it is perfectly proper to pray for God to give us strength, physical strength and spiritual strength to be sure. Ephesians chapter 3 says that very clearly. And Paul prayed that the Christians at Ephesus would know the power of God. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Paul said, our sufficiency is not of us. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. So it is perfectly proper to pray for God's strength. There's another petition. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, He says that your hand may be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. At this point, he's praying for protection. He's praying for perseverance, preservation. He's praying that he not sin. Now, that's not an obscure prayer tucked away in a little red book in the Old Testament. Jesus taught us to pray that, did he not? When in the Lord's Prayer he said, deliver us from evil, often translated the evil one. So clearly, the Bible says we should pray that we be delivered from evil. The problem with that is we wait until we get confronted with it to pray for it. We wait until the temptation is sitting in front of us that we pray at our weakest moment. How about praying that before any situation comes up? That's what Jabez is doing here. He's, as far as we know, he's not facing a temptation at the moment, but he's praying that he not succumb to evil when it shows up. Keep me from evil. The time to pray that is before you're confronted with the situation. Now, there's a little problem here. The last phrase in that petition says, that I may not cause pain. That's one way to translate the verse. Some translations say, gives the idea that I may not experience pain. Now, what this is saying then is keep me from evil that I not experience pain. Hello. Sin causes pain. Personally. Some of you look like you've experienced that. You're shaking your head. The other possibility is that he's saying, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain to somebody else. Interesting. Sin causes pain to the person who commits it and to those who are close to him or her. If I'm right, or that Hebrew professor is right, that this is connected with Achan, then clearly Jabez knew that that sin of Achan caused pain to others, his own family, perhaps Jabez's mother, Achan's sister. And so he is saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sin and hurt other people. So keep me from evil. All right. We've looked at Jabez the person. We've looked at Jabez's prayer. Bless me, enlarge my territory, put your hand on me, keep me from evil. I want to do one other thing. I want you to look at what happened next. What was his portion after he prayed this prayer? Look at the end of verse 10. So God granted him what he requested. God gave it to him. God answered his prayer. Let me ask, why did God answer this prayer? I'm going to make two suggestions. The passage starts out in verse 9 saying he was honorable. The Lord honored this honorable man. He was a man of character, spiritual interest. He was a man of integrity. Would be appropriate to say he was esteemed by others. The book of Proverbs says that if you walk in wisdom, you will have that kind of respect and esteem of other people. And that that kind of wisdom begins because of your relationship with the Lord. So I'm simply going to suggest that God honored this honorable man because of his character, because of his relationship to the Lord. But let me make a second suggestion. Is it not significant that he prayed the prayer? And doesn't that tell us something about this man? Doesn't that tell us that he was humble? He prayed. Proud people don't pray. They think they can do it without God. Humble people pray. In the book of James, chapter 4, James talks about prayer. And in the process, he says this: God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So when you come to the Lord with a humble heart, out of an honorable life, God says, that's the kind of prayer I'd like to answer. So I think God answered his prayer because of who he was, a humble, honorable man. That's it. Little obscure guy in the Old Testament that prayed. So let me sum this up and make a suggestion. If I were going to put together everything I've said, I would put it like this. No matter what hurt you have experienced in this life, you can be honorable and you can experience the provisions, the power, and the protection of God. So this comes down to two simple little things gleaned from these two verses. One is be an honorable person. And two is ask God for his blessing. Now I can imagine somebody might say, but isn't this a selfish prayer? Shouldn't we be praying for God's work or God's family? Why should we pray for ourselves? Isn't that selfish? You might even quote James, who said, you ask and do not receive. James chided people for praying for themselves. I would respond to that by saying, James did not chide them for praying for themselves. Read the verse. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you simply might spend it on your pleasure. So James is not saying don't pray for yourself. He is saying don't pray with the wrong motive. And that's why I made a point out of why did God answer this prayer? It wasn't totally selfish. Here was an honorable man. Here was a humble man. He wanted God's blessing. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not to say that he didn't pray for other people as well. And if my picture of him is correct, that ancient rabbi's comment is correct, he had many disciples. So he's praying that God would enlarge his ministry. So here's the bottom line. Pray for yourself. Do I have to encourage you to do that? No, you've already done that. You didn't have to come here to have me tell you to do that. You do that automatically. No, what I want to do is to tell you how to do that. And this is the how. Pray specifically for God's provisions. Enlarge my coast. Bless me. Pray for his power. Pray for his protection. Now that's very biblical. None other than Jesus himself taught us to do that. Give us this day our daily bread. That's provision. And deliver us from evil. That is protection. The prayer of Jabez then teaches us that God will answer the prayer of an honorable, humble believer for the increase of work or ministry, as well as power and protection. Let me sum it all up in one word. It's perfectly proper to pray for growth. Could you not sum it all up with one word? Bless me. I want to grow. I want to expand. By the way, some people are afraid of that. Some people wouldn't dare pray that. Oh, they might mouth the words, but they don't really mean it. You know why? Because most of us are very comfortable in our little circle, and we don't want to be taken beyond our comfort zone. Right? I suspect that hinders some people from growing spiritually. They don't want to be taken out of their little comfort zone. Well, the essence of this prayer is, Lord, enlarge my zone. So he's praying for growth. In praying for strength, he's praying for growth. Obviously, in praying for protection from evil, he's praying for growth. So pray. Pray for yourself. Pray that you might grow spiritually in these specific areas. But the issue is that we grow, that we don't stagnate, that we don't run in a rut. That we say, Lord, increase our borders. Give us the strength to get out of our comfort zone. This is not the first time I've preached on this prayer. The first time I did it, I suggested that you pray for yourself for 30 days and pray this prayer. Remember the reference? Don't look at your Bible. Remember the reference? First Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Got it? All right, let me suggest, I'll give you a bargain. Just pray for the rest of this month. That's not quite 30 days. I'll give you a break on price. And then I'd like to suggest this. Why don't we pray this for our church? Is that a good idea? Matter of fact, we had a campaign, I don't know how many years ago. How many remember? We prayed, Lord, bless Lindley for 30 days. At least the rest of the month. 27, 28 days left in this month. Let's just pray. Lord, bless Lindley. Well, what are you asking him for? That's up to him. Is that a bad idea? Lord, I'm just going to pray you bless me. And I'm going to let you figure out what the blessing is. I love it. Surprise me. First time I ever preached on this, I got a little excited about it. After I prepared the material, I started sharing it with some of my friends that were pastors. And I didn't make a specific. I just said, Lord, bless me. Had no idea what he would do. And I no sooner did that than these pastor friends of mine came back and said, hey, I took you up on it. I preached it. I got all my people praying that like that now. What happened? The Lord blessed me. Increased my ministry, gave me a bigger ministry. What could God do? Should we do this?
Yes.
Let's pray. Every day for the rest of this month, Lord, bless me. Increase my borders. Put your hand on me and protect me. And do that. Not just for me, but for Lindley. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us the privilege of prayer.
Yes, thank you.
Wow. We thank you for this example of it. Now, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray properly, biblically, for ourselves and for our church. And Lord, you choose the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.